In the quiet expanse of the Hudson Valley, a series of mysterious events unfolded throughout the 1980s. Night after night, thousands of residents across the picturesque region just north of New York City turned their eyes skyward and witnessed what seemed impossible. Enormous, silent craft hovering above, outlined by blinding lights and moving with eerie precision. These were not fleeting glimpses, but prolonged encounters, sparking a wave of intrigue and fear. The crafts, described as larger than football fields, would often float noiselessly, leaving onlookers both awestruck and unnerved. As reports piled up, the local media and law enforcement agencies found themselves overwhelmed by the scale and consistency of the sightings, propelling the Hudson Valley into becoming one of the most legendary hotspots for UFO activity. This case file joined the theorists as they hunt for black triangles and bounties in the Hudson Valley UFO encounters.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 354. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Today's show, we're going to open with a new segment called People Helping People. I need help. Oh, I need some advice.
We just went through this pre-show of how Braden gets skinny.
This is Hold on. So something has come up that I was hoping would not happen, because it didn't happen last time, but the inevitable is going to happen. On Wednesday, I have to fucking take maternity photos.
You don't.
I have to be
you
part of it.
You don't have to.
I've been wrangled in.
No.
Now, here's my concern.
You have to strap a watermelon under your shirt and act like
you're
pregnant.
No. Well, dude,
he's got a custom one himself.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Right now, I got the body shape of a baby bell on top of fucking Jack.
Do you
want
to stand up and show the people or what?
No, because honestly, my biggest concern.
No wonder your legs are jacked. It's got to carry that fucking cheeseburger locker around everywhere.
I'm actually concerned because I was like, I've been thinking. I put on like the dress shirt that I'm supposed to wear, and I'm like, God damn it. I was like, people are going to think that I'm a transgender pregnant man. that's where we're at. Like, that's what they're going to think. And I'm like,
you are very pear shaped.
Yeah. Like right now, yeah. Dude, I get the perfect like baby bump. I carry right out front. It's insane. And, my concern is, I'm like, is there anything I can do? Do I stop eating from now? Just go 48-hour fast here?
I think you're SOL to begin with, because I think anybody that's going to see someone that's doing these photos are going to go ahead and assume you're a transgender man. Okay.
It's inevitable.
But there's no, like, Zell, do you have maternity photos?
No, I don't think so.
No, there's no way. It was floated. I had a stipulation. I told her, I was like, okay, if you want to do maternity photos, one of them, I got to dress up like Leahy and you got to dress up like fucking Randy Bobandy. That's the only way I'm doing maternity photos. And she said, no way.
So I did get maternity photos. I did.
Oh, no.
The first time with Nova, but it was just standing in the park with Willow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's whack.
Yeah.
And we didn't pay for them. We got.
No, we're not paying for them either. We have a friend, but yes, like, friend is there anything?
Okay, camera.
Is there anything I do? Like, am I binding? Am I gut binding?
Yeah. Don't do it.
So girdle it up.
Just wear something really, really baggy.
Looking like a fucking 90s, just like a 90s suit.
Like a 4XL suit, just like a Joe Rogan style suit.
Looking like I'm going to go number one overall in the 1996 NBA draft.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. And one mixtape.
Yeah.
Super baggy. Let's go.
That's the only
thing.
Just
leave it all to the imagination.
But is there any way you can induce labor like early? just to get
honestly, I'm
rocking the bed.
She has a test tomorrow, and if that test goes tomorrow, like the babies could be coming earlier. I'm kind of like
she'd pay the doc off to give a little swipe while he's in there. Yeah, get that thing up, buddy. Anything to get out of those pictures. Once the baby's here, you gotta take pictures. I get it. You gotta do those weird little mutant pictures where their hands are propped up on their chin.
The problem is
you gotta do little mutant baby pictures.
The problem is I'm not in those pictures, right? So it's easy. I'm in this.
That sounds like
that's no problem. Yeah, but so the babies have to come tomorrow. That's the only way I'm out getting out of this.
Will it into existence?
Mm. Right. That's the only way I can get out of this.
You got to make some spicy food. You got to fucking rock the bed. Get some things moving.
I'm telling you right now, this is the only, there's nothing really too much you're going to find me self-conscious on, but it's when someone wants to take like serious photos and I'm like, oh, we can't have a laugh? Because if we can have a laugh, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like I can do some funny poses. It's going to be a good time.
Buddy, there's not, like if you want to take a picture of me, I have to like be holding my children or something and like be doing something. I can't just like, if somebody's like, hey, we just want to take a picture of you for whatever reason, like, there's no way. Dude,
and I don't know what it is with my face right now as a 36-year-old man that something happened. I used to smile normally and I'd see pictures and I'd recognize myself. I go, oh yeah, that's me smiling. And like now, every time I smile, like, my like jaw's like jutting out. I'm like showing all upper gum, like little to no teeth. I'm like, when did I start? I don't smile. Like what's happening?
Just getting uglier,
man. Yeah, I'm like, holy, what happened?
Slow transition.
So people help people, there's nothing I can do. The babies have to come. That's the best advice I can get here.
You're just going to have to get lucky, it sounds like.
You're not going to look more attractive in like a few days.
Can I kill the bloat?
Then you're going to get
worse.
Can
I kill the bloat and just be like,
could you be like a fucking, like Looney Tunes style and just like pull all your fucking gelatinous fucking mess up towards your chest?
Gelatinous.
You know what I mean? Mess. Like just fucking, right?
Maybe. The Homer Simpson to stretch it all behind you with a big pin.
Yeah, you can do that. You can try.
I don't know, man.
Okay, you have two options. A really, really, really tight like corset style shirt where you can like cinch it up or just really baggy clothes. That's all you got.
Fuck.
Okay. I think your best shot is inducing labor.
Baggy as you can get. Just big hat too. Like big hat to like offset something else. Just like really broad brim hat. Like just like, yeah.
Okay, listen. We gotta look at this from an entirely different angle. What if
that's gonna be bad for many?
Did a reverse Uno card and started body shaming her?
You're not gonna like these photos later. Let me tell you something.
They're big. Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. You're huge.
Yeah.
Okay. You're huge. It's not good. It's a bit of a mess.
I like this avenue. This is better. This is better.
You're six times bigger than me. You want to take pictures together?
Take pictures. Listen,
dude. If I'm standing beside you, it's going to make you look bigger.
Exactly.
This is right.
Now you're thinking.
Good.
I like
this.
It.
Is good. This is good. You know what I'm thinking else? You know what else? Oh, brainwave. Close up shots of him. Me lurking in the forest in the background. Right, like way off.
Yeah, just like
out of focus.
90s cover album. Just like he's standing all the way in the back. Like, yeah, Ted's towards the background or in the foreground. Standing farther back.
Like I'm the fucking...
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, but you know what? You got to do the patent like you're behind her anyways. Her fucking locker is going to be covering yours.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to be doing hands wrapping around holding belly.
Yeah.
You guys got to touch bellies though, for sure. If you're gonna, you got to rub bellies,
dude. I have the other thing I can do is I can push out the gut like insane. Like it's, I can triple it in size by holding the air.
Think it's been doing that on its own, buddy.
Yeah,
it's been happening.
Yeah, it's been a rough winter.
Now you're hibernating.
Yeah, I'm cultivating mass for my summer body.
Yeah,
that's how that was supposed to work.
The other news segment. New news. New segment. New news.
This is important because, we've gotten so much fucking feedback about people not wanting us to get involved in American politics.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd bring a little Canadian politics.
Yeah, because some fucking insane shit's happening in Canada and all
crazy
you Americans.
Here too.
All you Americans who have been like, you know, you can now sit back and laugh at what's going on in Canada. So we have an election coming up in a month and we have two, are they in Toronto? I think there are two members of parliament running for a riding.
So Paul Chang, the incumbent liberal member for Markham Unionville. And Ontario, Joe Tay, yeah. conservative candidate for the same, I think he's in the same riding.
Both Chinese. Not just saying, stating the fact, both Chinese.
Yeah.
The Liberal member of parliament comes out and he goes, hey, guess what? This guy has a bounty out for him for $1 million out of China. So if someone wants to come and round him up and bring him to the Chinese consulate, they can collect $1 million bounty. He's saying that about his political rival.
The guy is he's a political activist in Hong Kong for like democracy. Like he's not a bad person, right? And they've put this bounty on him. And
yeah, there's a
buddy comes up who Paul Chang used to be a fucking a decorated police officer, and he's come out and he's like, yeah, if anybody wants to cash in on this fucking bounty, bring them to the Chinese consulate in Toronto and collect your money. And it's like, what has the Chinese government been doing to Canadian citizens over the last few months?
I don't know. Executing them?
Executing them?
How many? like was it?
This is insane.
4 or 6 that we know of. It's probably more.
Well, 4, and then we got like, did the two Michaels get executed?
No, they were returned eventually.
Were they finally, but they were held captive for how long?
Like 4 years or something?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Like, could you imagine that? Like, literally, after they've executed 4 Canadian citizens, you're going to go ahead and say, hey, we got another one for you.
Yeah, hey, breaking news.
Happens to be my political rival.
Someone called Dog, because this guy's got a bounty. And it's a legit bounty, $1 million bounty. $1 million bounty.
$1 million.
I'm turning you fuckers in.
That would make me a little liberal. I would be voting liberal for $1 million.
I'd be turning.
Paul Chang, you got my vote, baby.
I'd turn you in instantly. You'd be dead. I'd get $1 million. Sail into the sunset.
Man, we don't have to turn on each other, man. We can turn this guy in.
Hold on a second. How far? Toronto's not that far away.
It's pretty far.
Okay. Well, for $1 million, you don't say we do an ATT bounty gate?
Quick road trip with the last coffers of the bank account.
See where Joe Tay's hanging out?
Now, my question is, can you write off those expenses if we turn Big Theory, if we re-kick off Big
Business
Theory
expense.
As a bounty hunting agency, Big Theory Bounties?
We're bail bondsmen.
BTB? Yeah.
Can you be Big Bonds?
That's our new
name. Hold on, though.
Big Bonds
can
Limited.
Can you be a Canadian bounty hunter? Is that a thing? Because I don't ever like...
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know if that's... Is that a thing?
I don't know if that is a thing in Canada.
Get like a bounty hunter's license in Canada?
I think the cops do that here. I don't know if that's... I don't think we have a Canadian dog running the street.
We don't have
fucking... Dog the bounty hunter with a...
yeah, what's up, brother? You smoking ice, brother?
Yeah.
It's, oh, Christ. It doesn't say you can't be a bounty hunter. It says it's like technically illegal, but it says like if you want to be one, you can.
So you're saying there's a chance.
But I think if you're a vigilante.
That's even easier. You don't need credentials.
I mean, listen.
It's kind of like being an alien theorist. You can just do it.
Well, Braden is a fucking UFO expert.
He's an expert.
Yeah. It's
I'm a bounty hunter because I said so.
It's something, all I'm saying is it's something to put our minds to. Right
now,
there's a Canadian with $1 million bounty, and you know, you only have to get him to the Chinese consulate.
You just got to bind him up and drop him off on the front steps. You're good.
Okay, yeah. So there's my next question: is it like something you do by force? Like, do we hit up like fucking Sir Bless Herbies and Penticton, get loaded up with tactical gear? You know, like how do you do this?
You sign up for Uber.
Ooh.
You try and get him in your car.
Okay.
Lock him in.
He's got private drivers. He's a fucking liberal MP. They're corrupt.
You become a private driver, get hired.
Okay.
Get in the inside.
I like that.
Pick him up.
Zell. Okay.
We're hiding in the trunk. We're hiding in the trunk. You pick him up. We lock the doors. I pop out. Boom. Over the head. Pillowcase over the head. Duct tape.
Gotta tase him.
Just for fun, we'll tase him.
Can you do a good Chinese accent to like convince him?
No,
he's from Toronto.
Oh, hello. Okay, can you do one of those fucking obnoxious, horrible Toronto accents?
I'm gonna say objectively, the Toronto accent. I would way rather have someone with a hard Chinese accent speaking English than anyone from Toronto.
The Toronto accent is the most off-putting accent. Like I'd rather listen to a fucking newfie read haiku poems than listen to a fucking anyone from Toronto say anything. It's horrible. It's literally horrible. It's made up. But I like that. But that's like
Toronto accent sounds like, not sure.
Hear me out. You guys see Mulan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if we get dolled up with concubines?
Honey pot.
Just
them.
Like they do.
Yeah.
Geishas?
No, no. Geishas? Japanese.
Oh, shit.
Concubines. That was racist. Chinese, I think. Mm.
Yeah. I
could
just I didn't
be,
know.
Could call them courtesans. It's kind of like covers all the bases.
Dan knows his Asian women. He knows what's going on. He knows what to call them. He knows exactly what to say to cover all bases. Don't offend anyone.
Oh yeah. Shit!
I like this is the good. That's the best option so far.
It's concubines.
Just waiting.
Brayden drops another 30 pounds. He's in. All right. Put a wig on.
Hey,
him.
What if he likes?
Get, no, he gains another 30 chubby? Pounds. He's got tits.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Right. We don't know what kind of concubine he likes. Right. We got to cover our bases.
I seem to remember Mulan. There being the little fat one with a mustache. Yeah. Too. It's yeah. Perfect.
Right. So it's like I said, boys. It's we should put some $1 million.
All good ideas.
A big dirty, right? I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
A big dirty. We boys, ATT's big dirty. We need.
Yeah.
We need a big dirty.
We do need.
I'm
a
just
big
saying.
Dirty.
I'm like
been tough.
We got to steal those loonies and toonies from the movie theater ASAP.
Yeah.
But anyways,
this could be our fucking loonies and toonies, boys.
We're workshopping it.
Joe Tay, we're coming for you, baby.
You're next. You're up.
Hey, listen, brother. You got our vote. he's a member of parliament though, so we could probably book a meeting too. Like we could probably book a meeting, right?
Well, not right now because actually it's dissolved. So
it's election. Yeah, yes.
So if he, hopefully
poor guy's in hiding after that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you
a
see,
million
like,
dollar
Carney
bounty.
Came out. Carney, our prime minister came out after the guy said that and was like,
supported him.
It's pretty fucked up, but we got to support him.
Gotta support
it's
him,
true.
Our boy.
Why do we support him? Because Carney is being fucking backed by the Chinese.
It's got quite a few billions of dollars in interest overseas.
But well, hey, we'll workshop our heist. I'm just or our
heist,
our,
no, it's a big dirty.
our bounty
gate.
It's not a bad idea. It's deliver
ATTB?
A package.
What are we bounties? We got to come up with a cool name.
Big Bonds.
Big Bonds.
Yeah.
Big Bonds Incorporated.
Zell, you're blonde. You got to grow the skullet out like dog.
I've always wanted to grow the skullet.
Brother.
Yeah. The braid.
Because when my hair starts to get long, it starts to get a little curly. So I just a long, curly skullet.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Just like. Yeah.
We are pretty much the A team. We're just the ATT team.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's us.
I like it. It's well, like I said, we'll workshop it. We'll think about it. But today we got your UFO case on the go. It's like old times. 20 minutes in, haven't talked to shit.
Would we fly there or we rent? Like, would you do a bike? Like, think about it. Would you, like, because budget, we drive, it's going to take a long time, but a van, we use the van, kidnap a guy, and then you just drop it off while you're in Toronto.
I would say that we
one way
probably want to drive there.
Fly back.
Yeah. Right? And plus bonding. We all get to get together and fucking have a good time. On
van. Like, listen, driving to Area 51 was fun. Road trips are fun. This would be a good time. And it would allow us to like hash out the final plans of getting this guy
workshop
to the Chinese consulate.
The problem is, though, is one of us has to be expendable.
Why?
Well, it's Brayden, obviously.
You need wild card. You need fucking wild.
It's Brayden, obviously. He's expendable.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you guys. I'm doing this bond on my own.
Fuck good luck.
Yeah. You know, I don't have the means to create this is a four-man job. Anyways, today we're talking Hudson Valley UFO. Listen, first off, there's a great Unsolved Mysteries on this. Our boy Bobby Stacks. The outfit he puts together, dude, he's got the high
that jacket is fucking
dude. It's awesome. The jacket, plaid shirt, and then the pants tucked up your nipples combo.
Ooh, yeah,
I was like holy
all the way up. Like,
I don't what it was it about it about the 90s where everybody dressed like a homies doll.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like the little homies guys that you'd get, everybody's pants are nipple high and they're huge.
Oh, I want that style back.
We can bring it back.
Honestly,
what if you wear that?
Brayden! That solves all your fucking problems.
Yeah, what if you
buddy?
Wear that fit, dear?
That's your
problem.
Yeah.
Cubano Pete. I should have known it.
All chino.
All chino. Up to my nipples. Shit. Yes. Little dress shirt.
You're already wearing the fucking beater right now.
People helping people. Listen, if you got problems that you want us to workshop, message us at alientheorious at gmail.com. And we'll figure out. Yeah, we'll figure it out for you. But yeah, that's a good plan. But Bobby Stacks looking fly as ever for this.
Fly.
Insane.
Yep.
So what happens in this one? What are we talking about here? Hudson. Where's Hudson Valley?
The Hudson Valley is in New York. Yes, this is the eastern part of New York all along. So this series of sightings covers like a span of years. And from most accounts, if you look it up, like the Hudson Valley UFO encounters, some books and some sources will kind of say that the entire series of events goes from 1981 to 1994. And it covers a very large area of the Hudson Valley, because the Hudson Valley is pretty big. So it's like all the way from pretty much, it just follows the entire Hudson River from basically like Manhattan all the way up to Albany. And you've got a whole bunch of space to work within there. So all the people kind of covering all the people's reports that people report UFOs, UFO sightings, they all kind of get lumped into the Hudson Valley one. But we're going to talk about some of the most like the probably prominent the ones. Yeah, the most prominent ones and the ones that are pretty much near the beginning of what can be considered the Hudson UFO flap. It's whatever. So March 17th, 1983, you have one of the wildest reports as you have from one Dennis Sant, who worked there in one of the local government in one of the areas. And he described witnessing this large, silent, metallic object in the sky that he said, and, you know, they interview him in the Unsolved Mysteries, and he says definitely, like, it was like a city of lights. That we've had other people, like we've heard descriptions of UFOs like this before in other cases.
Is this the guy that fucking loves saying the word chevron? Because he said it like 17 times in his fucking 2-minute interview.
Yeah, because this.
Honestly, I was like, yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's upside
cool,
down chevron sign.
Yeah, he kept saying chevron. And I'm like, is that like, okay.
You're like, I got the shape the first time.
I understand that you know a big word. I'm good with it. It doesn't give you any more credibility.
It's chevron.
It's not that big of a word. It's a two-syllable word.
Dan.
It's big for some.
I had no idea what. After that, I was like, oh, it's not just a gas station? It's a shape?
Listen.
Don't you have chevrons on your
Miss Rachel's your never covered that shape. Miss Rachel's like, don't you guys never covered it.
What? Yeah, don't you guys have the chevrons? Don't you have the little, like.
For your, like, sergeants or captains?
Yeah, don't you have chevrons, like. Pretty sure you would. Don't you have ranks?
Not me. I'm a fucking.
Like, well, not you.
Yeah, but don't you?
Yeah, like, officers do.
Yeah,
officers,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so they have chevrons.
Like, I didn't know what they're called. We call them stripes. I didn't know it was a chevron.
Well, there's chevrons and stripes. There's difference. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, okay, at least in the military.
We don't have chevrons. We have stripes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have chevrons. The only chevrons we got have gas.
Right. So yeah, the Hudson Valley is also well known for there's a lot of UFO sightings describing the classic V-shaped or chevron-shaped UFOs. And this one, you'll see a lot of accounts will kind of like, it's between the two. You do have the chevron ones, and then you do have them also describing this large appearance of lights. And you get a couple of them, they're like, even in Unsolved Mysteries, like two separate people said that they see something that's like a city of lights. You know, it's the very much the I guess like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like the ET ship, like the,
it's a
like
lot
the
of
ship
lights.
From ET. Yeah, like that's what I picture in my head. You know, and I would say the dramatizations from the Unsolved Mystery, those are pretty cool. Like those are pretty good, actually, in that episode.
Yeah, well, you can tell this was later seasons where they're starting to get a little better
spiced
budget.
It up a bit.
This is the fifth season. Like, yeah, they got some budget reenactments.
Look at the wardrobe fucking budget they had there on Bobby Stacks.
Like, half of it's blown on Bobby Stacks.
Yeah, worth it.
And so Dennis Sand described his experiences a little bit is interesting because when he first sees the craft, like he's out there and he said, like, he was out there with his son, out in the front lawn where they'd seen this in the evening. And he was like in awe of this thing. His emotions like run this entire spectrum where it's like, he starts in, he's like, what is this thing? We're following it. Like he said, they followed it into the backyard. He called his daughters out as well to come out and see, look at this, to look at what was appearing in the sky. I had no idea what it was. And it's just,
that's how I know he's lying. That's how I know he's lying, dude. Now that I'm a father, if I was sitting outside quietly and I saw anything, I would not be waking up anyone. I would be like, I'm not, this isn't worth my ruining my peace here. I'm just going to enjoy this.
I just sit there silently, crack a beer.
I'm not sharing this experience with no one. I'm just going to lay here.
Do I have them come out here and you know, they're just going to be loud, or, you know,
Just like, I'm going to have to put everyone back to bed.
It's my first 10 minutes alone of the entire day. Like entire day.
Yeah, fuck that.
Having 10 minutes alone that's not on the shitter would be like,
outside? Are you kidding me?
There's no way.
I'm not calling anyone.
No, fuck that.
Might FaceTime one of you guys and be like, don't talk too loud. Everyone's sleeping, but look at this in the sky. It's
too risky.
But yeah, he starts out with this, you know, with this experience describing, you know, a sense of awe. And then he says, like, as this thing, you know, you recognize this, didn't recognize this, for he's like, you know, running through your mental checklist of being like, is it a plane? Is it a helicopter? Is it all this? And it can't be any of those things from what he's seen, and what he recognizes. And then he's saying, like, towards the end of it, he's saying that he started imagining this thing. He had this overwhelming sense of anxiety where he's imagining this thing landing, encountering aliens, or even being abducted. Since this is 83, so, you know, alien abductions are the big thing.
That's that kind of gives me an interesting thought. If we collected this bounty, are we kidnapping this guy? Like, is it kidnapping? Like, are we in trouble?
This Jordan Tate,
if we collect the million dollar bounty,
he's got a bounty on.
No, you.
That's not kidnapping.
You print out a little bounty hunter license, a self made bounty hunter license. Say, I've got a permit, and who's going to say?
I guess who's going to stop you? Yeah, you're right.
It's a bounty. There's no kidnapping.
But you said there's no such thing as bounty hunters. Like,
well, no, that's why I'm worried that
it's a bounty.
Why would you put a bounty on him?
That's why I'm asking.
He's got a bounty on him.
A bounty by a foreign government.
Maybe. Yeah, but
so
I mean,
do you need
a Chinese government that runs our government?
So do you need a Chinese bounty hunter license?
Maybe.
So if you get a Chinese bounty hunter,
okay. So that comes back to the fact that we should dress like concubines. Right.
Are there bounty hunters in China? Can someone look this up? Somebody look that up.
The kidnapping offense.
Got to be.
It's okay. All right, we have a little bit of a hurdle. Kidnapping makes an offense to kidnap a person, move them to another location, and confine them against their will. It is also an offense to be unlawfully send or transport out of Canada against the person's will, or to hold the person for ransom against the person's will. So if the problem, what I'm reading here is, if we get caught, right? If
There's
we get
no
foiled,
asterisk saying unless they have a bounty.
No, nothing about bounties, right? What's the punish? Ooh, dude, first time, mandatory minimum if you're found guilty, 5 years.
Okay.
That's not bad. $1 million?
Second time you're found guilty, 7 years.
Really?
Right? But this is going to be a one-off for us, and we got to do it because it's $1 million.
Ask them if we can divide up.
What do you mean, the sentence? Ask the courts.
Split it up.
We all got to go for a couple of years. We can join the floor hockey team in jail.
So it's 2-1-1. Who's taking 2 years and the rest of us taking 1?
Can prime ministers give pardons? Like a president?
I don't know.
Because I'm telling you, Carney's going to fucking pardon us for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be doing him a solid.
But I don't think, my thing is, I'm saying if you can get, first off, if we're going in like Bella Clava style, dressed as concubines, throwing this guy hogtied in a van, and say we don't run into any resistance, we get him to the Chinese consulate, we toss him in, we collect our bounty.
And we fucking GTFO.
Yeah. We're fine. We're no issue.
Or burn our budget. Or we don't bring it back. We
have to come up with some sort of like Ocean 13 scheme where we trick him into coming to the consulate, right? Where Inception style, we get him there, right? He doesn't even know it's his idea.
Dreams is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Okay. All right. What's his name? Sparkles. Sprinkles.
Sprinkles. Sorry, Sprinkles.
Yeah.
Sprinkles. Okay. Right? Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm just saying
it's not a bad idea.
Boys, it's $1 million, right?
It's worth some time.
when we said, when we were talking about Denny Saint and his thinking this is, he's being abducted, I was like, fuck, right. Are we abducting this guy?
Yeah.
Because in my head, I was like, are we just lawfully, we're collecting a bounty here. He's like, he's being bountied, right? So we're the good guys, but we might not be the good guys in this scenario.
It's not, why is being a bounty hunter illegal here? It's bullshit. It'd be a better place if we had bounty hunters.
Someone should put that on their platform, you know?
That's it. Yeah.
We should just formal bounty hunter.
Yeah. Licensing. What's your stance on bounty hunters?
When's fucking Polyev come in here? I'll ask him.
I don't know. It's just, again, boys, it's $1 million. Drive the package to the consulate, drop them off, right? $1 million. That's all I'm saying. So,
I mean, I bet you we've got a better chance of going through Kearney than we do Polyev. To get approved. The guy's hobnobbing with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Right? No one wants to talk about that.
No. Nobody wants it. He doesn't want to talk about the tariffs from China. He doesn't want to talk about the executions from China. Nothing. Anything Chinese doesn't come out of that guy's mouth. Other than, hey, they're not bad. We got to consider it.
What's that? It's $1 million. I'm considering it. I'm like, it's not bad. All right.
$1 million. Cash.
Cash.
A week after Dennis Saint had his encounter, March 24th, 1983, this is probably the time where you get, it's the largest number of witnesses like in a single night, starting off with Officer Andy Sadoff of the Newcastle Police, who was on routine patrol at that night. And she had one encounter where she described seeing this large silent object, and most of them say like this is one of the qualities that they all mark, the characteristics that they all mark in these sightings, is that they see these huge collection of lights that are that seem to be moving as a single structure in the sky, and it's like completely silent. Like she said, she's out there in the middle of nowhere kind of like listening on the side of the highway. She's listening for that, you know, the droning sound of engines or anything like that. She can't hear these. And she's saying that it had these alternating lights, green and white is what she said. And that this object approached her vehicle, it stopped, kind of hovered silently above her vehicle, and then kind of took off. Like at this point, like it's just like it hovered for like a couple minutes
silently too, right?
Like I'm just saying when I called Zell and I was freaking out, I saw the weird thing, this like very very similar,
which again will remind the listeners that the man who tells you how to frame a UFO if you take a video forgot to take any video.
Resident UFO expert.
I was so awestruck.
All the blood was rushing to his pants.
Yeah.
And he fucking blew it.
That's like Zell never has any photos of anything megalithic because he's too rock hard, right? I see UFO and I get megalithic.
Megalithic.
There's no way out of it, man. You shit the fucking bed.
I did,
You blew it. You had your moment. You've had more sightings than 99.9% of people I know.
He's out in the middle of nowhere.
I've had two.
Yeah, but you've also seen Mothman, and you've seen fucking
Bigfoot. I don't know if I saw Mothman. I was like five.
You didn't see Bigfoot. Yeah. You saw a footprint. There's probably it doesn't have to be a Bigfoot. Could be just some naked guy.
I don't know anybody else who's had as many fucking veils.
Well, you don't spend enough time out in the woods.
Yeah, so. Like me. Look at me. I'm a woodsman.
Maybe I live in the woods.
I
got woods right behind me. I could crack this fucking door, and all you'd see is trees, pal.
Not for long. They're about to build a bunch more houses behind you.
Shut the fuck up. I want to talk more.
So after Sadov has her experience, or she sees the sighting, her radio starts crackling, and they start getting in like a flood of reports of other sightings of other people seeing pretty much the same thing that she's seeing up in the sky. One guy, Ed Burns, who was a computer engineer and a senior manager for IBM, apparently was driving home on the Taconic Parkway, which runs along the Taconic Mountains there. And he was about 10 miles north of Officer Sadoff's location. He's also in Saving
Private Ryan and Entourage and a bunch of other cool stuff. Ed Burns is awesome. He directed Five Towns. Is it Five Towns? Or was he in Five Towns? What was the show that Johnny Drama was in? Five Towns?
I think Five Towns.
Oh, it was Five Towns, yeah.
Yeah, right? That's Ed Burns was in that.
Yeah, this Ed Burns.
Yeah.
But he also described what the same thing that Sant saw, and he described it as a floating city, this collection of lights in the sky seeming to be moving as a single unit.
Which is, like, the fact that you have multiple people, like, describing it as a city just goes to show you this, like, the size of it, because I'm like, if you see a plane or something like what I saw, I would never be like, that was a floating city. I'm like, it would have to be fucking enormous. Like, almost your, like, it would have to be almost your entire, like, what you can see in the sky in order to, like, refer to that. You know what I mean?
Independence Day.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, or else you'd be like, there's a fucking floating village up there. Village of lights.
I mean, you're going to be exaggerating, though. You're shitting your pants, big lights. Yeah.
There's a nativity scene up there.
At 9 p.m., you had a Gloria Scalzo of Ossining driving north on the Taconic State Parkway as well. And she also describes seeing, she almost describes seeing what might have been two different UFOs, because she describes seeing the cluster of lights and what she described, like a town floating above. Then after that one got out of vision, like she kind of turned off, she turned off the road and then re-entered the parkway. She saw the massive boomerang or chevron. Shaped object that was flying northwest. So either it, perhaps being, she saw like two UFOs. And here's when I'm reading these accounts. If you guys were driving, like what kind of UFO reaction are you having? Are you the kind of person like, you know, you peek up to the, you know, you put your head into the windshield while you're like still steering, or do you pull off to the side of the road? What do you do?
It depends.
I look up and I crash my car as I stare up at the sky.
Are you still driving while you're looking up? Like
100%. My head's up. I'm craned out the window, trying to get around.
Ace Ventura. No. You're the Ace Ventura. Like, so out the window. Like,
I'm pretty much on the roof and I'm steering with my feet.
I fucking drive and I never look back up.
Just don't look at it. It's not there. It's not there. I'm not seeing it.
It depends. If I'm solo by myself, I'll pull over, get out, take a look. If I got everyone in the car, I got the kids, the dog, everyone. I'm like,
I just want to get the fuck home.
Yeah, I'm going home. Like, it's cool.
We're not pulling over.
Yeah, like, wow, look at that. Did you see that? Let's go. I ain't got time. It's bedtime.
You're not following it? You're not going to follow it? You got the kids in the
car? No. Not with the kid. Not with the family in the car, dude. It's just, oh, God. I couldn't even imagine.
Well, the kids are sleeping.
You're driving the Astro van and you're not going to pull.
Kids are sleeping. You don't stop driving.
If the kid's asleep, I got to drive driving. Anyways, so then I might as well follow it. I'm stuck in the car for an hour and a half anyways, so I might as well. But speaking of driving, yeah. I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to want to rent multiple vans.
Sure.
If we're going to do this.
Budget vans?
Well, I was thinking when Dan was talking about coming like in and off the parkway, I was thinking that like, in case if there's an issue, we're probably going to want to have a couple different identical budget vans or identical vans. So that way we can kind of like confuse things.
Right.
We need a 0-point failure plan.
With the Austin
shell
Minis.
Game. Yeah. The shell game. You're just like, which one's it?
Right.
Yeah.
Because like at the end of the day, if they pull over Zell and Zell does not have Tay in the car, what's Zell guilty of? He hasn't done anything. He's driving a budget van.
I can hear the heist music in my head. That's right? What's happening. As they like, Zell and Zell's like,
swing the door, hits him with a shrug.
Yeah.
Oh, how are you? Like, oh,
nothing in my car. Dressed like a concubine. Oh, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
I just drive a van.
I sucky fucky.
So fuck.
But like, because really realistically only one, like the only person with the package has to make it to the consulate, right? But like that's the everyone else, even if Zell like were to T-bone a cop in pursuit of me and be like, whoa, what the hell, what happened, you know what I mean? As long as I get to the consulate and then clear the consulate.
Because I like how you think it's you that gets to hold the cargo.
I'm just anyone. Sorry. I'm not saying anyone.
I don't know,
but
I just don't think you're the guy for the job, if I'm being honest.
Okay. We're gonna trust you?
Well, I wouldn't say me either.
Maybe we'll bring in an outside party, someone we don't know, no connection.
I know none of that.
No. Well, I was thinking we rent. Then we'll have to murder the guy after. But we rent him in Scotty's name.
So I'm talking about.
But that comes right back to me.
That's fine.
Same name. Right? Because my thought is as soon as you get this guy to the consulate and you hand him over to the Chinese authorities there, like, you can leave scot-free and they'll be like, hey, you've committed no crime. Because they'll be like, we think you did this. And you'll be like, oh, yeah? Ask him. And you can't, because he's now in the consulate. They're not letting him out.
Yeah, oh, no,
he's on Chinese soil. I mean,
he's being bagged and tagged.
He's getting kasogied or whatever, right? He's going out the back.
Kasogied. Again, that's not...
close enough.
Zai, that's not my problem. I'm just here for the money. I don't want to be a part of anything else, right?
What happens now? We want to jump into stereotypes. What if this, like, Joe Tay is like a fucking... Joe Tay knows karate. Maybe that's where the Tay comes from.
You go to grab him, he just fucking hip tosses you, puts you in a fucking triangle choke.
Fucked. Are you saying the Tay and Joe Tay is short for karate?
Karate, that's what I'm saying. Right?
Well, that's what the taser's for. And we have the taser.
Well, in this case, we can't separate them.
He's a member of parliament.
Honestly,
you pull out that taser, he's going to look at us. He's going to go, diplomatic immunity.
Well, the other thing is,
he's not. It's dissolved.
It's dissolved. Like,
it's dissolved. The bounty dissolves it.
It's
does the bounty override.
Did you say?
Parliament dissolved.
Yeah, he's not.
He's been revoked.
So we probably have to pull this off like in the next little while.
We have 30 days.
Beat his diplomatic immunity. But then my thing is, if we're dressed as concubined, right, obviously he's going to want to get sauced up, right? We're going to want him saucing up, feeling loose, having a good time, right? He's getting a little touchy-feely. We're bringing him drinks,
We're going to do Operation Midnight. We're going to pull an Operation Midnight climax on him is what we're going to do.
Yeah, 100%.
Dose him with LSD.
Yes. Yep.
Right?
He'll come willingly then, you know?
Right? Yeah, drug him all, get him all drugged up, right? He doesn't know where he is.
That's easy.
Get in this buddy van. We're going to another party.
People helping people. We're helping each other become millionaires.
Yeah.
This is big.
A million's not enough money for three people, though. We got to up the bounty.
Yeah, we'd be millionaires.
We'll slowly have to kill each one of us off.
We'll negotiate at the doors of the consulate. Like, we need more money, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to cover these $9.95 budget van rentals. Zell didn't want to get the extended insurance on his. He cheaped out, so
I'm gonna need that bonus.
It's coming off the top.
One of the interesting characteristics of this case is that the types of witnesses that you get for this case, the Hudson Valley within the area that a lot of these places are like
hoity-toity, buddy.
Yeah, it's what we kind of upper class
Jersey.
The main pastime,
well educated
croquet, yeah. A lot of croquet on every yard.
Like, hey, you want to play croquet or what? Huh?
Forget about it.
If you can,
you want some of this crudité?
Hey, I'm croqueting here.
So you could probably, a lot of people would take these accounts and probably attribute a little bit more credibility to these than some other accounts that you get like out in the.
What
middle
are we saying, Dan? We don't take credibility from poor people's encounters. No.
I don't.
I think some people don't.
I feel like 75% of them.
You have to be a policeman or some type of
trained observer. Have cops.
You have to be in some type of trade that's equally as fallible to corruption as any other trade in order to be trusted.
Besides cops, you had one description of a sighting from what is it? It's Bill Hella. He was a chief meteorologist at the time, and he reported also seeing a UFO around the same time that all the other sightings that Scalzi sat off, all of them saw. So he said that he saw the formation of what he was accurately describing as six bright lights. He said they were aligned in a row and they formed from his perspective. He describes like a check mark pattern. So it kind of, depending on their perspective, I'd say it's probably still like you have a triangle or a chevron.
Nike swoosh is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Good fucking advertising.
But, as his experience as a meteorologist, like, he's looking at these lights and he said these are too bright to be stars. They seem to be moving.
He's looking through his telescope. He's
And he said that they were initially moving quickly, and then they slowed to just about a near stop. And then as this object passed overhead, which he said maybe like 100 feet from where he was standing, the lights changed in color to like a blue violet, and then kind of briefly went dark. He estimated that this object, like the way that he was seeing it, is that this thing was probably at least 1,000 yards in size.
Did he give this like recounting of events in front of a giant green screen and just like pointing? So yeah. The lights, they were bright. They were over here.
Yep.
And then they kind of just trickled down to over here to this fucking area.
He, interestingly enough, said that he described a sensation from this object. Like he got a kind of feeling that he was being scanned and rejected. Like this thing was actually scanned him and then said, no, I guess is what he said.
Incompatible.
Small penis.
But aside from him and the other two sightings that we talked about, like hundreds of phone calls were made to police stations and airports on at least 5 separate evenings during that month. And most of the reports describe this large, silent, hovering, V-shaped object.
All the people are describing, it's like very similar look, using the same keywords. It's not like these people are hanging out at a party and there's like 5 from the same, oh, city lights, V-shape. These are like coming in from all over the place describing these. The other thing I'm thinking is, Zell, do you still have your ability to stay at Half Moon Lake? Because we're going to need a really good alibi. Like we're, you know, like if we were to pull this height, like the kid, not kidnap the bounty.
I can make a call. Bounty. I could get us a cabin.
Bounty.
Right? Because then it's like, I think we got a perfect, we do some pre-records and say, oh, hey, pod week. Hey, we're doing a pod week. And then we rent the vans. We drive to Ontario, right, to collect the bounty. And then we drive back. We just drop them off, drive back.
We pay cash the whole way. There's no trail.
No paper trail.
So obviously, $1 million isn't enough to retire off of Split.
No.
It's like, no way. But I wonder if it would be.
It's enough money for 3 days work
professionally after that. Everybody just retire and focus.
No,
on podcasts.
We'd have to do this, take the mill, go to the casino and try and double our money. Ooh. You'd have to throw it all on black.
Boys, I'm just saying this.
It's not a bad idea because then we don't have that exact number of money, right? So when they come after us, be like, what are you talking about? We either have way more.
We got like 10 million here. We're broke, actually.
I think you guys are forgetting a huge thing that like once we actually cash this guy in, right? Drop him off, they're gonna be like, oh shit, dude, we are now officially bounty hunters. We can be like, give us a list.
What's the
give
job? Us a list
of names.
What's the job? So
who's next? Because what's the job? If we can, that was a good Statham. Do that again. Dude, give me another one.
What's the job?
That's good. Yeah, because then we could be hitting up other ones. We could just be bounty for China, right?
Like, what are the laws between like international bounty work if you are a licensed bounty hunter in the States? What if Dan got licensed where it's legal in America to become a bounty hunter?
And he makes
and
a trek
out. Like, and then he deputized us as bounty hunters.
Well, yeah. we're employed under Dan.
Yeah, we're his deputies. Mm-hmm. I like it because Dan then is also the fall guy. If anything goes wrong, I don't know. I just
you're saying the quiet part out loud.
It's just, I mean, $1 million, and I think the doors that would open because if we could. Pull this one off. If you pull this bounty off
to my new house, which would be phenomenal.
Yeah. But also it's like, I imagine a lot of the bounties that are out there from the Chinese government in Canada are not as high profile as this guy. So if you pull this guy off, it's going to be cakewalk after this. Mm. You know what I mean? Right. We're starting off at the top.
Well, the rest are going to be cakewalks, but they're going to be bounties of 10,000. We have to go full time.
That's right. That's all right. That's all right, though. We got a nice little nest egg to start off, right? Think about the cool bounty hunting gadgets, man. We could all get leather vests.
Matching?
No, it's got to be all blacked out fucking tactical gear.
Oh,
100%. From head to toe.
Yeah. I like
pockets.
That. Yeah.
Just fucking,
dude, tactical fucking wraparounds, like the wraparounds.
Was
like
it Rob Lowe? Yeah.
HD wraparounds. Yeah. I like those.
Yeah, HDs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like head to toe. Dude, I like this. Oh, yeah. All looking like Universal. Dude, dude, we have the fucking DBZ power fucking monitors.
The scouters.
Scouters. Yeah. Right? But it's just a single sunglass, right? Because they don't really make them.
Squinting.
I like it. Man. It's good. But I'm sorry. It just keeps giving me ideas for this fucking bounty. I'm starting to, I don't know if it's the fucking Apple crown I've had, but I'm like, it's starting to sound
the
like
connection
a better,
between
better
a
idea.
Chevron UFO and international bounty hunting is too similar to pass up.
It's insane.
It's very much. So this case file is also interesting because it would pull in the two big experts at the time, from like UFO stuff.
And we'll they never called right me. After.
Yeah, they never called Brayton because he wasn't born
he
yet.
He wasn't alive.
Dan called it right after the break, and you get those names right after the break. We'll be right back. All right, Theorites, this episode of Alien Theorist Theorizing is brought to you again by Mood.com. These beauties rule. It's an online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. No more sleepless nights, stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC, and they deliver them right to your door. And now you can get 20% off your first Mood.com order with promo code ALIEN. That's right, promo code ALIEN. Listen, when I'm locking in for a nice night of theorizing, I love the gummies Mood.com offers. They have sleepy time gummies, epic euphoria gummies, perfect for those days when there's nothing going on. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. Best of all, not only does Mood.com stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code ALIEN. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ALIEN. That's right, 20% off with promo code ALIEN.
We're back.
All right, so we're renting a cabin at Half Moon Lake. We're renting three vans, paying with cash, dressing as concubines. Yeah. Someone's going to abduct the guy. We're probably going to back the vans up together in like an open. So if there's a helicopter following, we'll back them up really close, open all the doors. You won't know what fucking van the body's in or the guy's in.
Yeah.
We'll all take off different directions.
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll have three. We'll have other like dummies. Like you'll have like wrapped up in like in a rug or something.
They all get a body.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
Everybody that gets a body. Dude,
hold on. That's a good idea, Zell. You just gave me a fucking great idea. What's that service where you can just randomly hire people online?
Fiverr?
To do random the jobs? Internet? Fiverr?
Craigslist. Dude, probably
anybody can do that. You do that from anywhere.
We're going to pay people to rent similar budget vans that we're doing.
We'll get an army of budget vans.
To just be patrolling the city at all times.
It'll look like the Joker's heist
with the van,
The Dark Knight.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking with the school buses.
Yeah, we'll just big line. That's, bust through the. we'll grab the guy, but somehow we'll have to bust through a building and just like shoot out of it, and then just join the line. Dust and debris falling off our van, like no big deal.
So then our heist song is just one note being repeated the whole time.
Zell with a keyboard in the back of the budget van.
Keyboard and a loop pedal. That's it.
Oh, that's such a good scene, man.
It's great.
Unreal.
So anyway, Hudson Valley, they're bringing in the big guns. This is garnered enough attention.
They're just like every other case file we've ever talked about.
Yeah. This one's actually interesting because that's the thing. You have the two big UFO heads of the time. You've got the big you got the JL and Hynek, and you've got Philip Klass, who are two very different approaches to their ways of analyzing these and cataloging their UFO sightings. Hynek came down there when the sightings, like, you know, during their peak and stuff, and he spent like an entire weekend interviewing residents about who said that they had seen the object. you know, he received briefings from like local investigators, like around the area he was associated with. And he said that this was like a textbook case. He's like, this thing, and it wasn't unusual to have such it was unusual to have like the sightings in these kind of relatively urban areas, these developed areas, you know, not out in the woods, not out in the, you know, sparsely populated
areas, sophisticated eyes.
All right. But it's also like the concentration, the number of people who reported witnessing this phenomenon. So it was very strange. And then when they kind of got down to it, I mean, this is still in Hynek's book, like this went down as unexplained. Class, Philip Klass on the other side, and we've talked about him on other case files where Philip Klass is people kind of style him as the classic debunker, like starts from zero, you know, that this is going to be,
you're an idiot. You didn't see shit. Those are lights in the sky.
I mean, yeah, he specifically like called out Hynek on this one, saying that, like, you know, Hynek and his investigators and other groups, like they usually find prosaic answers to these sightings. They usually do like kind of debunk themselves, and they do approach it in a objective way, but they're also not really, in from his point of view, he doesn't see that they're disposed to these kinds of answers, that they more tend to find inexplicable cases. Like they're going to err on the side of more like, this is unexplainable. They don't offer an explanation. And Klass said, like, during the, you know, at the time, like during his 17 years investigating cases, UFO cases, he had yet to find one that he would have said was completely inexplicable. And, you know, on his thing, he went and said that he suspected that these sightings were nothing more than maybe some kind of advertising airplanes, is what he kind of offered up. But you saw like this kind of clash of the two, like the two classic UFO investigators. And, you know, it's a very, I think it's an interesting, like contrast between the two, because they are both UFO investigators, and the way that they approach the cases are very different. You know, and
dude,
and,
if nowadays, if these guys were both alive doing their thing today, they would be fucking fire roasting each other on Twitter all the time,
which would like, be super interesting. Yeah, these guys are taking shit all the time.
Talking mad shit. Like, yeah,
would it be like the Greer and fucking Elizondo beef? Like, would they be like ripping on each other, just being like,
or like Steven, idiot? Yeah, or like Lou Elizondo and Steven Greenstreet? Like, they like Steven Greenstreet, like, fucking swears at him all the time. He's like, you're a fucking loser.
I feel like, yeah, you'd probably be, you know, back then, 80s, everybody was a little bit more classy, I guess, you know. It's kind of a bit more civil in their approaches to these. And I feel like they were, you know.
Yeah, they're civil because they didn't have access to the internet like 2:30 a.m. after a few fucking drinks.
That's true. Just after a couple beers, like, you know, Class is like, fuck this guy. You fucking moron. You worked for the fucking government. We can't even trust you anyway, idiot. Like, yeah.
You're just a shill like Nick Pope.
But it is fun to read about them and kind of examine our own approaches to like UFOs. Like, you know, what do you think of you guys yourselves? Like, do you fall on are you a Heine or a Classy? Like, do you find like Hynek, are you more going to be like, this is unexplainable, this is probably actually a UFO? Or are you more like a Class and you're kind of being like, no, this can definitely be explained, I just don't know what it is.
I'm a Heine all the way, baby.
Yeah. I'm a Heine man. It's the thing for me is, I'm like, it depends on the case and the intricacies of it, like of how I kind of approach it. Like, if like with this, there's similarities. And like the official story that we're going to get into that, you know, that some people have claimed ever doesn't add up. So it's like, in that sense, I'm more intrigued in it. And the fact that so many people see the same thing and they're not connected, it does. But there's some cases where I'm just like, I'm totally fucking all class, no class. You know what I mean? Like, no, you fucking, this guy's a liar. He's making it up. Class that's a fucking that's not a Bigfoot. That's a fucking just a bunch fucking of skunk corpses. It's a bunch of possums.
It's possum stuffed in sawdust.
I mean, the Hynek approach is good because it's like he's like 80% is explained, but the 20% that unexplained. I mean, what are you going to do on that one? Like, if you can't explain it, you can just say like.
Hynek, the guy that coined swamp gas and shit, though, like he's come up with some pretty ridiculous excuses.
He kind of went back and forth, though. I feel like he's like not, after 95%. After they closed Blue Book, you know, like
I've said it like early on in the podcast, the 5%. You know, there's 5% of cases that you're like that one's hard to explain. This one, I'm like, I don't know. I mean,
well, I mean, they don't we know what it is.
Well, let's get to it.
I thought it was explained.
Some people call it. Was just a misidentification of some small wing jets flying in unison. Yeah.
Fuck snowbirds.
Snowbirds. Yes. Yeah.
Did I post that video? Did you guys see that video?
And then I guess you could attribute that like so it's seven. They say like seven or nine flying in formation, but then you go like, well, some people claim that they stalled and they had no sound, and then but it's at nighttime, so you could say like, well, those lights were just so high up you didn't really notice the sound. But then people are like, it looked like one solid craft flying across the sky and it hovered there for 10 minutes as we stared at it from our backyard. You're like, well,
dude, honestly this is the most interesting thing in this case for me personally, because listen, we've talked about fucking lights. We've talked about so many of these. This is like, you know, so many we've talked before. So many other mass sightings. You know, they start to kind of blur together. The interesting thing for this, for me, is the official narrative of the hoax is that, like, they're like, oh, hey, this was just a hoax done by some, planes by snowbirds, you know, flying in formation, having a good laugh at people. And like, that's the official narrative that they've gone that they attributed to all these people's accounts. But when you look at the flight data, these flights that they were the hoax flights occurred on Thursday nights, which only account for less than a third of the actual sightings.
You think the snowbirds only fly on Thursdays? They fly when they want to fly, pal. You're not going to hold them down.
No, but there's rules. So it's like,
no, there's not rules. They're the snowbirds. They're above the law. They do what they want when they want.
They buzz the fucking tower. It's like good.
Okay.
It's a Goose and Maverick up there. Yeah. That's the interesting thing to me, because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, well, you have like the government and people taking such a hard stand that this is the official narrative, is that there are a group of light planes flying in formation, you know, causing a scene, and they're equipped with color changing lights that create an illusion of UFOs. But when they look at the flight data, they go, well, those planes flew Thursdays and they were doing that, but that accounts for like less than a third of the actual sightings. So it's like, what happened on Friday night and Saturday night? You know, like what was going on in the skies those other nights when these people were calling in?
Situation where basically like they saw the fucking snowbirds.
Dude,
and then from then on, every single thing they saw in the sky, they attributed to what they saw.
You have to be some sort of scumbag to see the snowbirds on Thursday and then Saturday night look in the sky and be like, you know what? I'm going to call in right now with what I saw on Thursday.
Well, no, you're still seeing something, you're attributing it to fucking...
All these people are just winos. You know what? I am going to call the police.
Hey, listen, this is upper scale fucking New York. They're on Quaaludes, pal. They're not winos. They're doing the good stuff, okay?
Yeah, fucking senior managers from IBM. Like, yeah, they got good stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the interesting thing to me, is that they've gone so hard with this is the explanation, but the explanation they have is logged and it doesn't line up with all of the sightings. And like, I'm like, that's interesting.
Even during the first initial sightings, you had at the time Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Robert Fulton, who said that it was unequivocally not an aircraft, like what they saw. Like, he said that he had checked throughout the area, with including, you know, with airports, local airports and military bases, and like nobody knew what that was, what they were seeing. you know, no record of these things. And yeah, like the, there is some offer of explanation that these were perhaps airplanes, like, you know, like according to one, I guess, Sergeant Kenneth Spiro of the state police, like there was one trooper who, you know, caught sight of a UFO at the time, or what seemed to fit the description of one of the sightings, and he followed it and traced it to one Stormville airport and managed to, you know, figure out that these planes are like the, I guess it was like a small group of like stunt flyers, snowbirds,
rebels.
Yeah, Mavericks
flying without fucking flight logs.
Yeah, had been flying, but it's like the explanation like they offer up, like they said, like he talked to these guys and they didn't even mean to do it. Like it wasn't a hoax necessarily. Like they didn't mean to do a hoax. It's like they were practicing night flying, and you know this like it might be different from maybe different sources, but it seemed like these. Some descriptions that has that these guys were not meaning to do a hoax. And then other ones are like, yes, they're like, oh, they were perpetrating a hoax and just getting a kick out of it. But it's just like, I don't know.
It's funny though, because it's like, okay, so even if it is these, like when I was saying mass hysteria, like people are blowing shit out of proportion, getting a little crazy. How many fucking planes are in the Snowbirds? 6, 8? Are those lights as big as a fucking city?
Football
yeah,
players.
It's either like, they're exaggerating. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, or they actually saw something, but I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The one where it's like the one encounter we described, Scalzo, she's saying that it's almost like two different things she saw. She saw the city of lights, and then she saw the boomerang UFO. Like it's two different
Chevron.
Ones. So yeah. Part of me is kind of like, was it two separate? It's a flap? Things? Was it different?
We're in a flap here, boys.
Little flap.
Little flap. Speaking
when we were talking about like Sergeant Kenneth Spiro of the state police, got me thinking that like
Stadies.
We're gonna have to do something about the police situation. So we're gonna want to, like, if we're doing this bounty, collect the bounty, we're gonna want to have to dive. Like, I'm just thinking, like RCP, OPP in Ontario, we're gonna want to have like,
aren't they owned some by sort the Chinese of anyway? So why would
we're gonna Chinese? Could we not get support from the Chinese fucking police force that they have operating within Canada?
Okay, so Andrew, you learn Mandarin phrases.
Hello, and goes, that's not Mandarin. We're going to kidnap this man.
Nope, no, I have a.
I can give you Mandarin right now. Song Fu Cup, Tong.
I have a real time translator.
Means pain. Song Fu Cup means take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Come with us. Or
real time translators, like, and I'll hook that up to a megaphone.
There you go.
Fucking Tong, buddy. You want some fucking Tong right here?
Yeah, come with us or Big Tong. Tong. Big Tong.
Big Tong.
He's like, I speak perfect English. I'm a member of Parliament in Toronto. But like, we're gonna want to like mass diversion. We're gonna want cops everywhere where we're not, right? I'm just thinking ahead, right? I'm just planning. Just
Makes sense.
Diversions everywhere on the day.
Uh-huh. Everywhere. Just calls, right? We could fever whatever you said, people calling in, different reports, right? We just want to spread all our resources.
We hire a couple truckers, start a new convoy. That'll really get them distracted. Oh.
We won't. They won't be cutting our check if we're doing that.
Yeah.
Kearney
yeah.
hated the truckers. Yeah, he was the guy that told us to freeze our bank accounts.
Yeah, like it. Anyways, it's... Was there anything else that they attributed possibly the Hudson Valley UFO sightings to?
So there was.
Yeah.
The TR-3B. America's real life reverse engineered anti-gravitic delta shaped or chevron shaped triangle shaped craft.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yeah. I mean, this thing, like the concept art for it. Do we have a real picture of it?
No.
No, you don't. That's how secret
not that
it is.
We know of. Yeah.
Isn't that stealth bomber kind of that shape too?
Kind
of.
Yeah, the concept art for it looks pretty fucking cool.
Some of the stuff I read about is like it's originally was meant to kind of, it was like in development with the F-117. Yeah. Like,
so you gave me a panic attack because I had also Googled it, but all my tabs open. I was like, oh my God, how did I share the screen? I gotta close my tabs.
This is the one picture that everyone thinks is the real one.
Right.
Yeah.
That has like people like
the Black Manta,
the triangle shaped. It looks like a stealth fighter, but it's just a triangle. No windows. It has like a little.
Yeah. They blew all the budget on the plane. Couldn't afford a better RV.
Yeah. Just a regular old 1989 travel.
Fucking Winnebago. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the explanations people offer for this one. And I think when we talked about the Belgian UFO flap as well, I think that that was one of the offerings of an explanation about what these things were. And if you had a secret military aircraft, it was going to be this one. The TR-3B is one theory that's thrown around a lot, that, you know, perhaps the reverse engineered UFO stealth aircraft that. The, you know, military is either test flying during these nights and moving around out there. I mean, there are military bases up there, but you know,
unless perhaps they had a fleet of them, though, like for the people that the amount of people that called in with this, a city of lights in the sky, like, so unless there was a fleet of them, you know what I mean? Like it, that just doesn't add up for what is seen. Like maybe a couple. I'm sure if that thing exists, there's been a whole shitload of triangle crafts attributed to this thing. Like we've heard, you know, people talking about the void, like just an ad, like a darkness that you can't see the star. Like I'm sure there's shit that this, yeah, we could attribute this to. If it does in fact exist, but like, to me, this, I'm just like, it just doesn't go with the description of like a city of lights.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's
what I said. I mean, when they say city of lights, it to me, it evokes the ET spaceship, like at the end of the ET, yeah, like it's our beginning too. It's like that type of spaceship is what you get. And I'm like, it's kind of hard to be like, there is a video, a classic video that's attributed to this case, that like people watch, and it's got some commentary over it about what they associate with the Hudson lights. And like, this is what people saw. And it is like a very much like a circle of lights around there, but it's like, yeah, like those could be planes flying in formation. Like it could be. And again, is that exactly what they were seeing? That were people seeing other things? This UFO, like I said, it spanned years, you know, like 81 to 94. And is it what people were seeing were exactly, I couldn't, like you said, like those planes weren't flying every night. And some people calling in reporting stuff to being like, I saw something. So I don't know, this always, I kind of be an interesting case. This always pops up. It was popularized in a 1987 book, Night Siege.
It's a good name.
It was just a good name. Could be a Steven Seagal movie, who knows.
Under Siege, great
movie. Yeah, guy loved his sieges.
Under Siege 2, on a train, you know. And so if this were, this is a classic case, and it is interesting for the fact that there are so many people who saw it, and there are in largely populated areas, all these people seeing the same thing on different nights. And seeing the same thing
over a long period of time too. It's not like a weekend.
And it's not like, and it's different to me. Them seeing different things, describing the triangle UFO and then also the city of lights, to me says that there's two different things that these people are seeing. You know, are they different UFOs? You know, are they different? It could be different aliens. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, are they completely different UFOs?
There's 400 like, different species of aliens visiting Earth right now, depending on who you talk to.
So, but, like, you know, what do they?
They all got their own shapes of crafts. Somewhere from the inner Earth, hollow Earth, somewhere from over the ice wall. There's a lot of different versions.
Different dimensions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just
or snowbirds.
Different area codes.
Snowbirds training.
Yeah, so snowbirds.
I was just wondering, can we get in trouble for conspiring to kidnap a member of parliament?
Probably. What?
Satire. Satire.
It's satire.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Satire.
Cut it all. Cut it all.
This case file is not available
case
on
file
YouTube.
That didn't exist.
This will be deleted from YouTube immediately.
Satire.
On the live stream.
It's like, really, if we were. See, it's all
hypothetically.
Hypothetically. If we were. Kind of,
yeah.
We don't put anything. Like, there's nothing on paper. So it's
and
okay.
I'm just, like, it's I mean, like, and like, haha. Satire. As long as I say haha before. How do we make sure we get our money from China? Like, can we trust China?
You can't trust China.
Right?
You need a deposit beforehand.
Interfere in our election. That's it.
Yeah.
If they interfere enough and they have control over everything, then we can get some like government money from them like legally.
Tell us, tell them they have to pay us in the gold tails, like in the Chinese movies. They have like the little like boats of gold.
You know what I just thought of too?
Box of gold
in fucking terracotta soldiers.
Hold on.
That's what we want to be paid in.
Yeah, we want our own terracotta armies.
And who's supposed to sell those to?
Like, now we're in the black market,
buddy. The fucking Smithsonian.
They got no money. Their funding's all about to be cut. They got no money.
Hold on. What I wanted to make sure is Canadian MP bounty. This shit better be in at least Canadian dollars, right?
No, I would rather be paid in USD.
Yeah, let's get the US.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I've never seen...
No, I want euros, actually.
They're going to fucking pay us in Temu bucks.
What? Are you kidding me? Dude, it's a million Hong Kong money, $130,000. Not
that's
even worth it.
Fucking nothing.
Heist over. Oh, what a joke.
You got $130,000.
Are you fucking
Canadian?
Kidding me? Yeah, are you fucking kidding me?
I'd rather
me
be
right
paying
now?
Temu money.
We did all that satirical conspiring for nothing.
Are you kidding me right now? Are you serious?
$130,000.
You're going to try to get four of the best Canadian bounty hunters?
You know how much those
fucking
vans are
going
to cost to rent across and drive across the country?
Think about the gas money with these carbon taxes. We can't be paying that shit. No way.
Unbelievable. You obviously don't want them that bad.
$6.
You obviously don't want them that bad. All right. Whatever.
Maybe cover lunch.
Up the bounty.
I'll put a real sour end to this case file.
Joe Tay lives to see another day.
Yeah, whatever. If you want to hear more on Patreon, patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or alientheorist.com, hit that support tab. Zell, do we have any new
I don't think we read any all month. And since it's the last day of the month, let's see what we got from the month of March 2025.
Read them all.
I think it's 8 years after we started Patreon almost. If you can believe that.
Crazy. 8 years worth of Patreon stuff on there.
Hundreds, legit hundreds of hours. Hundreds and hundreds of hours. We got Russ Lovelace Music. Oh, I like that promo. I like that promo. That's how you get a good promo. Pay $5, get a promo.
Genius.
Hot Dog Time Machine.
Woo!
Philip Campbell.
Woo!
Remote 001.
Woo!
He's hired for the job. Sparky Emperor. Andrew Lane. Jason.
Good name.
Brunette. Derek Fronick. And last but not least, we got Gage. I won't say his last name.
Okay.
Just in case.
A good name.
Like Gage.
One
Gage.
Name, like Prince.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Thanks very much for supporting the show. Supporting your boys. We're still going, stuff going up. We just played D&D again.
Ooh. This one's a good one too.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace. Nice.